throat, northern pike, largemouth, speckled trout, Dorado, coho, flying fish, walleye, bonefish, sunfish, codfish.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And we got people all over the world. We've got Grizz down from the City of Peace, La Paz, Baja California, sir. And believe it or not, Grizz is an expert on catching halibut in southern Baja, believe it or not. And then Pete spends his summers. Pete, what did you say? How many years now?
That would be 24, John, 24 years. And, yeah. Pete, Ketchikan, Alaska.
Right. Now, Pete is, you know, he's been a columnist. He does seminars at the Hall shows. He's done, you know... He used to operate a charter boat out of San Diego, or out of
Malibu,
right?
Yeah.
And so he's pretty much on top of it. And anybody that's ever listened to us before knows who the Grizz is, so we don't have to even introduce him. But what we're going to be talking about today is the flatties, the butts, the halibuts, from all the way from Baja to Alaska. And let's kind of start off a little bit. Pete, let's start with you and give us an idea about there on the West Coast. There are basically two types of halibut. What are those?
Well, you're talking about the local halibut, which is a California halibut here, and they're a different species, although flat, and we call them butts or whatever. They're a different species than the Pacific halibut. And the way to catch these animals up where we are considerably different than what they would be down here.
Mm-hmm.
In as much as understand and know the Pacific halibut is very, very ravenous. And you put down a 16-0 circle hook with a bunch of salmon on it, and they're going to eat it. Whereas if you try that down here in the local waters, that's not going to work at all.
No. So, well, first of all, you'd have a hard time getting salmon
You couldn't even catch a shark down here with that stuff. Yeah.
But yeah, 16-0. And it's amazing is that you put this goop of stuff on the line that'll weigh 5 or 10 pounds and drop it to the bottom of the ocean.
Exactly.
And these halibuts will just swallow it. It's incredible.
Well, you know, not only that, John, but the size of the halibut, even I have a couple in tandem, a couple of 16-0 circle hooks in tandem with bait on them, and a fish, and I've seen it time and time again, a 20-pound halibut, a Pacific halibut, will consume that and get stuck.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how resilient and how interesting that is compared to the animal here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about you take a when you bait your hook, you don't put a an anchovy or herring on. You put half of a pink salmon or a chum salmon on it.
Well, pretty much. Now keep in mind that herring up there is a desired bait. But once again, and I hate to be redundant with this, that the halibut there are so ravenous they don't care what it is. If a single herring drops to the bottom, they're going to suck that up, and all the things up, like you were saying, a half a salmon, for goodness sakes. And, you know, of course, these fish will go upwards of 200, 300, 400 pounds sometimes, so mm-hmm. depending on the sizes and whatever. But keep in mind that, and a lot of people, catching a big halibut like that's just like catching a barn door. I have personally experienced 100-pound fish taken out over 100 yards of line before it stops. You know, so, you know, this business of, you know, just a bottom fish, just bring them up, and it's like, you know, it's like a barn door, forget it. A lot of these fish are really, really feisty, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, Grizz, let's go a little bit farther south. Let's talk about the kind of halibut that you find down in southern Baja.
Well, we find them in the mangroves, and we cast to them. You can catch them on a fly rod, or, you know, the easiest way to catch them, I guess, is with a jig head and with a crave bait or a swim bait behind it. The trick is to find where the sandbar starts against the mangrove. Then you cast up to the mangrove, and there's a drop-off where the sand actually drops off to, instead of 3 feet, now it drops off to maybe 8 foot. and the halibut lay right on the side of that drop-off, buried in the sand. So you cast up in there, and you just jig it, and boom, they hit it. And the great thing about what we do is we fish with light tackle. We fish with very light tackle from, you know, like bait casting reels for bass fishing. And, I mean, they don't get as big as they do in Alaska by any means, but we catch them 15 to 20 pounds. And then another good way to do it is on the kayaks, which we catch a lot of them on the kayaks. You just drift down and find those sandbars, and by golly, you'll pick them up every time.
Mm-hmm. Now, Grizz, we're going to be talking to Captain David Baker a little bit. He's up here fishing out of Santa Barbara, the China Islands area. But the halibut fishing in, you know, that we find is usually shallow water, you know, maybe anywhere from, 5 to 50 feet. And then when you get up to the Pacific halibut in Alaska, sometimes they'll go down, 200-300 feet?
200-300 feet is minimal.
Yeah.
I have caught, in fact, the matter is, just to show you, I have my hard top, 21-foot hard top Grady up there, and I have over 1,000 feet of anchor line.
Oh.
And when we fish up there, and keep in mind that the way we fish, if you were looking on a chart or whatever, what you're looking for is something unique, be it by way of a large indentation or kind of like a valley that's, you know, circularly, you know, maybe a couple hundred yards away. Or, of course, you're looking for pinnacles. Now, keep in mind that this business about catching halibut in flat, sandy areas, that's out. And I'll tell you why that's
up there.
Out. Because
up
there's
there,
no
yeah.
food in there.
Uh-huh.
Now, every big fish that I've ever caught, every one of them without exception, had octopus in them. So that tells me that these big fish are rolling around through the rocks on the sand, and when they have the opportunity to suck one up, they'll do it. So not only that, but you're looking for drop-offs. But the footage could vary, and don't get me wrong, some of these big fish will come into 50, 100 feet, and, you know, just looking for bait or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for early in the season, we're talking about anywhere from, I'd say, 250 to 5 to 600 feet is where we're getting these big boys.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and Pete, the part of the cycle is that the salmon swim upstream, spawn, and die.
That's
and then
right.
They wash back into the ocean, and they're on the bottom of the ocean, and that's one of the major food supplies for halibut.
Well, yeah,
correct?
That's absolutely true, John. But you got to know and understand that season where the salmon go up and spawn and reverse back into the dead carcasses, that's always in the middle and late summer.
Mm-hmm.
So during the early seasons, the early months like April, May, June, like that, these animals can be caught just about anywhere, and they're absolutely ravenous because they haven't had anything to eat so much
right.
during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But once that spawning starts, then the shallow water is where you're going to be able to get them.
Right.
I mean, I've caught big fish in 46 feet of water, you know, during that
mm-hmm.
time where the salmon were spawning and the carcasses are going back out.
Okay, well, we've got less than a minute in this segment. And Grizz, that sounds a little bit different than what you're doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, completely the opposite. I mean, you're cranking down and all the way down to 100 feet or more. That sounds like bringing up a Volkswagen.
Well, it can be. It can be, only the Volkswagen's running.
You know? That's right. You know, that's going down. I'm
yeah.
just happy there on a little
yeah.
kayak, flipping
yeah.
the baits back up into mangroves and
yeah.
catching them like that. I really like that
yeah.
way of fishing, and anybody can... You don't have to have all that fancy equipment.
Right. Well, the other thing is that, you know, you can throw to them on lures. But we're going to have to go to a break, and we're going to come back and let's see if we can cap David Bacon to join in on some coastal fishing in California. But you guys are going to be around the whole show. We appreciate that, and we're going to learn some more about halibut, maybe about the fish themselves. So stay tuned. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio, and make sure you go to fishtalkradio.com and listen to the show as many times as you want, and also go to our Facebook.
Cleaning all my fish. It's time for the 38th annual Fred Hall Show, the ultimate outdoor experience, March 26th to the 29th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. San Diego's biggest fishing show, biggest boat show, biggest travel show, biggest outdoor recreation event of the year. It's San Diego's number one show. Don't miss the Mammoth Lakes Kids Fish Free Trout Pond, the Ram Ultimate Air Dogs, the Costa Sporting Chef Cafe, the San Diego County Ford Dealers Paul Bunyan Lumberjack Show, the Savage Gear Bass Tank, the Accurate Reel Saltwater Tank, air gun ranges, archery, casting, and dozens of family fun activities. Over 200 high-quality seminars presented by Progressive Insurance, Cousins Tackle, Hobie Kayaks, and the World Fishing Network. Enter to win a custom Sea of Cortez fishing trip to Rancho Leonero, a pair of Accurate fishing reels, or a Hobie Pro Angler Kayak. Kids free, kids fish free, military free. The 38th Annual Fred Hall Show, March 26th to the 29th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Details at fredhall.com.
It's a whale of a show.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Sandos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
I'm gonna go fishing. That's what I'm doing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. As promised, we have Captain David Bacon, who is, without spending a lot of time, a prolific writer. He does a lot of seminars. He has a charter fishing boat out of Santa Barbara. He has a tackle store. And one of the things he does a lot of is fishing for halibut out of the Southern California area. So we've got Grizz all the way down in Baja California Sur. We got Pete up in Alaska. So we got the entire West Coast coverage. David Bacon, welcome to Fish Talk Radio.
Pass me, Hardy's. I'm happy to be here, John. Thank you.
Well, let's go ahead. Grizz gave a little bit of a brief idea about fishing in Baja California Sur, and Pete was talking about Alaska. Let's go in the middle and give us an idea about the halibut that you go fishing for and how you do it.
Two of the main ways that we go about it here is bounce balling, which is a form of slow trolling, and it kind of came about through commercial fishing, but more and more recreational fishers are getting into it, those that are willing to put in a little bit of effort and hard work, because it is hard work. And then the other way that a lot of halibut are caught around here is surf fishing, casting lucky crabs right into the surf.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Casting lucky craft. It's a hard bait.
Uh-huh.
And surf fishing with lucky craft, 110 flash minnows to be exact. And those are kind of the two big ways that we go about fishing for halibut these days.
So you're talking about fishing for halibut on the beach from the surf?
On the beach from the surf. and we have this whole cadre of people who specialize in it. They come into the tackle store all the time. We compare notes, and they buy lures. And as I was mentioning, the Lucky Craft is probably the most popular. And, you know, match that with something like a Cousins rod, maybe a Bill Varney series. And I like a Pin Battle 2 reel, spinning reel, and spool up with, like, maybe 12-pound line and go out and cast the surf with these things. And people catch a surprising number of halibut and also big barred surf perch. Even the biggest ones will go ahead and attack that Lucky Craft also.
Okay, well, so what you've talked about is bounce balling, which is a slow troll where you've got a heavy weight that kind of just kind of drag it on and off the bottom floor with a bait behind it or a flasher?
Yeah. You know, the tricky part of that is it's not called slow trolling and it's not called bottom dragging. It's called bounce balling. And what you need to do is hold that weight, hold your rod, hold that weight about a foot off the bottom, and a couple times a minute, lower your rod tip and thump the bottom with that weight to get the attention of any nearby halibut.
Or knock him on the head, right?
Or
yeah,
knock
Johnny,
him on the
what
head.
He's talking about, too, don't get confused. We're talking about surf fishing one way, and he's talking about fishing in a boat.
Right. Well, we've got, yeah, that's to say, we started off to about bounce balling, and then we can also catch them from the surf.
There you go.
So the bounce balling idea is that you just, you know, bounce it off the bottom, and how deep of water, Captain David?
You know, bounce balling is going to be anywhere, depending on the time of year and a few other factors, from as shallow as about 30 feet on up to about 100 feet.
Okay.
If you start getting that deep, you start need to use at least 3 pounds of weight and keep
right.
your boat pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
And behind the weight, you know, you're using a dodger, and behind that, maybe a hoochie. But also these days now, we're starting to use a lot of plastic sand dabs. One made by Custom Craft is really good.
Okay.
And everything wants to eat a sand dab, including me. They're delicious.
There you go.
We've been trolling those a lot.
Oh, sand dabs, yeah.
And then the third surprise is, you know, I was talking about surf fishing, catching halibut with Lucky Craft. Well, guess what? Bounce balling out there, they don't mind eating Lucky Craft out there either.
Okay.
So we're also slow trolling, bounce balling, using Lucky Craft and lures like that.
Well, now, Captain David, we're talking about the California halibut, which is different than the Pacific that Pete's going to be talking about. But Grizz, the same species, which would be the California halibut, which is Baja California, sir. Give us an idea. I don't know if you were able to hear what Captain David was talking about, being able to catch actually from the beach into the surf. Can you do that down there?
Yeah, down here in Baja, yeah, you can. A lot of people do that. I prefer to go. I don't like really surf fishing that much. I don't like getting sand all over my feet and my pockets and all of that. You know, I prefer to do it by a boat. But, yeah, you can do it. You just cast out into the surf, and you need a weight and drag. You know, we like to drag plastics. That seems to work very good. Another way we like to do, if you can't find them, we'll take a small boat and we'll troll diving lures until you find them, and they'll just come right up on a diving lure, about an 8-foot diving lure, and just go along. You hook one up and then you go back, and generally there'll be 3 or 4 or 5 more that you can catch out of that place if you're trying to find them.
Well, now you're talking about Mag Bay, but what about along the beaches all the way down the Baja? Are there halibut there?
There's none down here.
There's none?
No.
Okay.
I've never heard of anyone catching a halibut down around, you know, Cabo San Lucas. I haven't heard of it. It might have happened.
Right.
But I just... Probably the water's too warm. I don't know. They just...
Right.
I've not heard anybody catching them in Todos Santos or any of that.
Right. But in Baja Norte and definitely in Mag Bay.
Well, Mag Bay, you got San Carlos, you got Lopez Mateos. I mean, you got a lot of good places there. Where you find the most of them is in the estuaries, is what I find. I don't even fish for them, to tell you the truth, out on the flats, because I just never heard of anybody even catching them.
Mm-hmm. So, but they are there, and if you know, in the estuaries.
Oh, they're
in
all over in estuaries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, but you got to find the drop-offs.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what you're looking for, you can always catch really nice halibut.
Now, what is a nice halibut down there as far as size?
Well, the biggest one I've ever caught down here is 38 pounds.
Okay.
And, I mean, that's a real monster. The average, I would say, 5 to 8 pounds.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's an average big one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, a little bit different, but of course Baja's not necessarily known for halibut fishing, but it's interesting that you can find them.
Most people don't even fish for them because they don't know how.
Right, exactly. Well, let's move up to Southern California again with Captain David Bacon. And David, what I don't know if we've really explained that there is a difference between the California and the Pacific halibut. They're two different species. And we hear about the barn door halibut. I think the record for the Pacific halibut is like 550 pounds, something like that. But and I don't know, but it seems to me that the California halibut, I don't think you'll ever see one over 60 pounds. But can you give us an idea on what their life cycle and their weight is?
Yeah, 60 pounds is, you know, you're talking world class now. So it's a smaller animal than the Pacific. And along the beach, you know, we're catching them frequently from the beach, similar size to what Grizz was talking about down there, 5 to 8, you know, but sometimes 15, 20 pounds right in the surf zone also. But then on the boats, when we're bounce balling, either along the coast or out at the islands, well, then we're frequently looking for 20 to 30, even 40, sometimes as close to 50-pound halibut. And that is a dangerous animal. Get everybody the heck out of the way before you bring it aboard the boat.
Well, we're going to be talking to Pete a little bit about that. And I've fished with Pete, and he's very particular about it. And the thing about some of these big halibut, if I would go in, is that you get them on the boat because they're such great table fare. And, you know, you do your, you gaff them and whack them. And then you put them in a box, and you're, you know, about half an hour later, all of a sudden they wake up and go with a hangover, and they get, I start thrashing around, and they've got powerful jaws and sharp teeth.
Powerful tails, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just
mm-hmm.
a powerful animal all over the place.
Okay.
But, you know, once into the kitchen, they make up for all of them.
But, so... Captain David, you talked about bounce balling and catching from the surf. So is there any tips that you want to give people that if we're in California to catch the California halibut, some techniques and baits and lures and gear?
Well, from the surf, you know, we talked about an appropriate rod, like a Cousins, Bill Varney style, and a good reel being like a pin battle, too. And then Lucky Craft is my favorite lure. Those we also use like 3-inch or 4-inch swim baits. And we're also using real small sand dabs in the surf, too, Rig Carolina style. And you wade out into the surf and you fan cast and make a couple of casts in each area, walk down the beach till your fans overlap, and continue. On bounce balling side, fishing out from a boat, yeah, there's one really important thing I want to just briefly mention. And in a seminar here at the Hall Show later today, I'm going to be talking about this in detail. But it's the speed. Everyone wants to know what speed
right, how
do
fast.
I throw.
Okay, Captain David, we've only got about a minute left, but go ahead.
Okay, and the big trick is never mind what the GPS says because it's telling you speed over ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's speed through water that determines the action on your dodger blade and your lure, so you watch the rod tip, and that tells you if you've got the right speed through water.
So you just keep the line at, what, like 30, 45 degrees or something, or what would you do?
Typically, your line is going to be 45 degrees, and you find it a lot easier to maintain that if you're using braided line, like 50 or 65-pound braided line.
Okay. What is the season for them? We got 30 seconds. When can you fish for halibut?
Oh, the best time of year, this year is different, earlier, start now. But most years, you're looking at April through about October.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. We appreciate that. And I know you've got a seminar to go to down at the Hall Show in Del Mar in San Diego. So we appreciate you taking a break and joining with us.
Sure thing. Well, right. Happy to be here. I'm going back to the Coastal Conservation Association booth now, and then off to go do a seminar.
There you go. Thanks, Captain David. And then, of course, we got the Grizz that's going to hang on there, hopefully, and Pete Haynes. We're going to come back with another segment, and let's see what we can bring it all together. We appreciate you tuning in to Fish Talk Radio, and go to fishtalkradio.com and our Facebook and ASOB online to catch up and see what the Grizz is doing. We'll be right back.
Looking for that special family experience? Want to really get your money's worth? Then come to the Fred Hall Show March 26th to the 29th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. For 38 years, we've provided world-class deals and world-class fun for men, women, and children. And when it's time to go home, you'll want to do it all again. If you love fishing, boating, international travel, or camping, it's the ultimate outdoor experience, and the kids are free. The Fred Hall Show March 26th to the 29th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Check us out at fredhall.com. And remember,
it's a whale of a show.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
You can lie, I'll get a pole, baby. You can lie, I'll get a pole, baby. You can lie, I'll get a pole. We'll
welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have Pete Haynes, specializing in the Pacific halibut out of Ketchikan, Alaska. And we also have the Grizz, the opposite end of the world, fishing for a halibut, believe it or not, in Baja California, sir. So let's get back into it. Now, there's two completely different species. And as we talked earlier, the California species, which goes all the way from Baja up to probably the Oregon border. Would that be about right, Pete?
I would say so. Yeah, there's a little mix with Pacific halibut and California halibut all the way up that far, but there's definitely Pacific halibut off the coast of Oregon because I've seen them caught up there. Mm-hmm.
And then they are, you know, they're both halibut, but they're two different things.
That's right, two different animals.
California halibut, as Captain David Bacon says.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are they two? Because you keep saying they are completely different species?
Yes.
Or are they subspecies?
No, in fact, the matter is, well, of course, you're going to have the familiar situation going, Grizz, but here's the situation. The California halibut, believe it or not, when they're conceived in an egg, they're swimming upright, and whichever side they'll go to, they'll either be left and right-handed halibut here in Southern California. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Well, not too many people do. In other words, depending on what side they lay down on.
Right.
So you could have two of them, and they...
Completely different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a California halibut. I have looked for over 35 years to see if a Pacific halibut is opposite of the other, and I have never seen one. So when they're conceived, they are conceived obviously flat, and they're all the same, either right or, you know, whichever you prefer, right or left-handed. But they're all the same, not like California halibut where there's about 60%, or what I've heard, that's 60% left and 40% right, these species.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick up two fish, even down there, and I'm pretty sure you're going to see one sometimes opposite of the other.
Ah, bet you didn't know that, Chris.
No, I didn't. I'm very happy. I like to learn stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Not that it helps you catch fish, but
no,
it's at least it's a little fact to impress your friends with.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, yeah, it depends on if it's a left-sided fish or a right-handed fish to where you throw your lure, John.
Oh, okay. Sure, Grizz.
I think maybe it's just the eyes are different and the mouth is different, you know, that kind of thing. It's just a physical makeup.
Well, you know, let's just, you know, for people that don't know and understand, the halibut is a very unique creature because when they're conceived and they're fry, they swim just like, you know, any other fish. You
exactly.
know? And then if they reach a certain point of maturity where for some reason they roll over on their side and then their both eyes come back to the top side.
Right.
So it's a very strange looking creature if you've never seen one before and you think about it, because both eyes are on the same side of the fish.
Exactly.
And the fish then swim, let's just say, I guess vertically instead of horizontally.
Exactly.
Would that be right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then so the bottom is white.
Right.
And the top is brown, obviously, because for predatory people, they, you know, the top part looks like this ocean bottom, and the bottom, if they're down underneath, it looks like the top. But very interesting creatures. But let's get back a little bit more to the halibut. And Pete, we've talked about from Captain David and Grizz.
Mm-hmm.
Give us an idea again about how you catch halibut up where you're at when you take me out.
Okay, well, keep in mind that we've already discussed catching these big animals with bait. Now, here's another thing. These animals are so ravenous that they will eat jigs full speed. Okay, I have guys up there that fish nothing but jigs for halibut. So, but on the other hand, you're going to have large Siwash hooks on these larger jigs and whatever, and you may want to put a little bait on there or whatever, but very, very deadly that way as well. And another thing, you said that little girl that was catching that big fish was on her knees and stuff like that. We learned a long time ago, long-range fishing, that two-speed reels are really a consideration and a positive situation that you can literally use a block and tackle effect in order to get these fish in from very, very, very deep areas, you know, 200-300 feet. It takes a little longer, but still, and again, you're making numerous turns on the reel, and it's literally inching them in.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it real nice. I mean, I've had a guy that used to fish with me was 88 years old, and he would sit there, and he was deadly on this stuff. And, he'd have it in high speed. Once the rod tip goes in the water with the circle hook, he'd turn the handle. And you never want to set the hook on a circle hook. I don't care if you're fishing halibut, tuna, or whatever. You never set the hook. You always just let it go. I mean, just turn the handle and let it inch up towards the corner of the mouth, and then to get caught in the corner of the mouth. Then what he used to do is he just use a punch it down into two speed, and very, very, and kept kept the rod on the rail and just turn the handle, and up comes a 100-pounder, no problem.
Well, Pete, I would like for you to explain. Now, fortunately, you have a history of law enforcement, so you're familiar with firearms. But the process that I've been with you go up there, and you know, we've caught 7,500-pound halibut.
Right.
But when you get one up to the surface, first of all, they're dangerous,
and
you're so meticulous. You won't allow a drop of blood on your boat.
That's true.
So give us an idea what happens when it comes up to the surface.
Well, when it comes up to the surface, the very first thing that you want to do, say, for instance, is a 100-pounder, the very first thing you want to do is get the animal under control. And we have what we call a harpoon with a dart on the end of it. And the line from the dart goes right to a large bungee, which is attached to the boat. Okay, the very first thing you don't want to do is when you get that animal up there is shoot him first and then try to take care of him, because of the fact that I've seen it happen. Guys, you know,
they shoot the line?
Yeah, they shoot the line. And the fish is dead, the line is broken. And I'm looking, I said, what the hell are you doing? You know, a good friend of mine is fishing that way. I said, that's baloney. So anyway, harpoon the thing, get him under control first. Okay, so that harpoon dart goes through and turns sideways. Now you can bring him up with a heavy line. Then if he keeps jonesing around and getting crazy, then you just pull that .38 out there and shoot him in the head. And that neutralizes them, and then you can work with them.
That neutralizes them. That'd be a good term.
Yeah, neutralize.
Grizz, have you experienced that, or do you have any questions on that?
No, I went out when I was in Alaska. I caught one about 160 pounds, and we get it up to the top. It's about 600 water, and the next thing I know, this guy's got a .44 and shoots it. And I'm like, my God, it scared me. I mean, just a gun. I didn't know he was going to shoot it. I didn't know what he was going to do. You know, I'm used to catching a big fish. I just take a gap.
Yeah. Right.
And I mean, the next thing I know, this guy's shooting a .45 beside me in the boat. And I'm like, my Lord, we don't do that.
No need. Well, you know, here's another thing. A lot of those guys, especially the charter guys, because I know every one of them up there in Alaska, and a lot of what they'll do is they'll do a simultaneous hit. What they'll do is shoot them and then use a gaff hook and get them in. You know, shoot them and then get a gaff hook. But I will not do that because of the fact that these guys have these aluminum boats and they don't care if there's blood all over everything. That fish in my boat stays overboard until everything is clean. Then if he'll fit in the box, he's going in the box. If not, he hangs outside until we're getting ready to go home, and then we'll bring him up. If he's too big for the box, we just deck stack him.
You know, I agree with that. There's nothing that makes me any madder than somebody pulling a fish in and it's flipping all over the place, the blood getting all over you, on your pants, on your sunglasses.
I mean,
first of all, it's horrible to see that. It looks like a massacre.
Exactly.
Second of all, I don't want a drop of blood in my boat.
Exactly. He's like me.
And third of all,
I am.
It's very unprofessional.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think we mentioned earlier the halibut. You know, if you haven't shot them, but I don't know, it might even happen when they do, as, you know, you bring them on the boat and you got a 50, 60-pound halibut. They're a powerful, powerful fish.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, you take them out of the water, you put them in the box, you assume they're, you know, they're expired, and then it could be half hour, 45 minutes, or an hour later. All of a sudden, the lid comes flying off the fish box, and this thing is going crazy.
That's right.
And teeth, you know, everywhere and tails everywhere, and you go, holy criminy.
Oh, here's another thing, Johnny, in case you want to talk about table fare, and maybe Grizz can even start doing this down there. Once you catch a halibut, you need to bleed them right away. Now, I'm talking about, it's just not, Alaskan halibut or Pacific halibut, but these halibut as well. And you don't need to cut any throats, or you don't need to do anything of that. Just take your dikes up inside the gill rakers and just cut a gill raker, and that'll bleed them. And that's exactly what needs to be done if you want good table fare when you're finished.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and talk about
you know what I do with my halibut here. I use a landing net because, like I said, they're not monsters like what you catch them.
Right.
And I bring them up on the side of the boat, take the hook out, cut them and then leave them hang there in the net until they're bled out, and then I put them in the boat.
Perfect. Yeah, he already knows about that. He knows about that table fare. That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, it is. I mean, we all look for sustainable fishing, and then, you know, we get a chance. We won't talk about it in this segment about the longevity. And you don't really want to kill the really big ones because they're all females and they are the ones that lay the eggs.
So yeah, well, what you ought to do is talk to the commercial longline guys about that.
Right.
So for 1 minute that they're going to take, it's all on the sport guy,
right,
it seems,
right,
to throw
exactly.
back all the big ones.
Right.
Have you ever seen a longliner offloaded back in the back of the, of the fish factory?
Right.
You'll see 100, 200, 300 pounds, and they don't give a damn about it.
Well, we're not.
Don't get me going on that.
No,
one,
we won't, because actually we don't have any more time. We're out of time.
Yeah.
But you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Pete, thank you very much. And Grizz, this has been so far a very exciting show and very informative. So you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Go to fishtalkradio.com and listen to the show as many times as you want.